Our sermon text for this morning is Hosea chapter 10 in the second half of verse 12, where the prophet calls the people of Israel to break up their fallow ground, to seek the Lord. And he says that the Lord will come, that he will rain righteousness upon them. This morning we commence a new ministry in this congregation. And for the next few weeks before we begin our regular series, what I thought would be best would be to sort of set the stage. If you will, a ministry is sort of like building something. You begin at the ground level and you sort of work with the congregation up and up and up and bigger and bigger. So this morning we're going to break ground. And that's why we have our text calling us to break up our fallow ground. Now, the prophet Hosea is, of course, prophesying to the northern kingdom. And as he's prophesying to the northern kingdom, at the beginning of his ministry, there's quite a bit of prosperity. So it's not unlike our day and age. There's idolatry. They don't worship the living and true God. But there's also some measure of prosperity. And they don't really realize how bad their spiritual condition is. And so Hosea, as a prophet, is calling them back to the Lord. And in our text, and we're going to deal with it in 3 points, Hosea is calling them to break up the ground of their hearts, to seek the Lord, and that the Lord will come. So our 3 points, first is simply break up, break up. Our second point is, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. And our third point is, till the Lord comes. Till the Lord comes. So beginning with our first point, Hosea obviously tells the northern kingdoms that they must break up their fallow ground. And that might not be something that is so familiar to us. When we speak about a field being fallow, what it means is it at one point brought forth crops. At one point was cultivated. And at some point in time, it stopped being cultivated. And it was left alone. And what happens when a field is left alone is it begins to be overrun by weeds, by briars, by thistles, by everything that is undesirable. I know some of you garden, and I'm sure that you know it's easier to grow weeds than to grow food or flowers in your garden. And you see, this is the reality of the heart of man. Even the heart of the Christian, so often with remaining corruption, is like a fallow field if it's not carefully cultivated. This not only describes the Christian or the heart of natural man, it can also describe the church. Now, there was a point in time, my friends, that the garden of our hearts was perfectly tilled, was perfectly managed. And it was when we lived in the perfectly tilled and managed garden. I should say, when our first parents lived there in the Garden of Eden. But with the fall of man into sin, now our heart brings forth no good fruit to the Lord. Our heart is full of thistles and weeds and briars and thorns. And Hosea sees this problem in the Lord's people in his own day. He sees this problem in the church in the northern kingdom. He's looking at them as a field, and he's saying that at one point they were cultivated for the Lord's purposes, and now they have been left alone. They're bringing forth no fruit to God, and they have become overgrown. And so he's calling them to till the ground. When farmers, before they plant, they must first till the soil in the field. That breaks up the soil. It makes it easier for the seeds to go in and to bring forth fruit. So Hosea is looking at the people of God. And he's saying, I see weeds and briars and thorns and undesirable plants that bring forth no fruit. And he's calling them to break up that ground, to go and till it, to make it desirable for the Lord to come and to work in. And you know, my friends, we see a New Testament example of this. And it's in the parable of the sower. It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 7. And you can read. And in the parable of the sower, it's important to remember that there's one sower, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's really one seed, and that is the gospel. And in verse 7, we read that some of that gospel seed cast out by the Lord Jesus Christ, it lands among thorns. And the thorns spring up and they choke it out. Dear Christian, what does your heart look like this morning? The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2, of course, famously says, let a man examine himself, examine yourselves and see whether ye be in the faith. In 1 Corinthians, dealing with the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul says, let a man examine himself before coming to the Lord's table. The Christian life is to be a life of self-examination. That's a Christian duty. That's something we are to be doing. It's something you are to be doing. And when you look and examine your heart, what do you find? What do you find? Do you find it to be tilled, well managed? Do you find yourself bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit even to 100-fold, as the Lord Jesus Christ said is possible? Do you find yourself bringing forth the fruit that the gospel seed has gone in and taken root in your own life? Or rather, when you look at your own heart, do you find that there's quite a bit of it that's fallow? Quite a bit of it perhaps has never been cultivated. Some of it perhaps has sprung up with reeds or weeds and briars, and no longer is gospel fruit being brought forth. What entices you, my friends? Is it the cares of this world? Is it the things of this life? Or is it Jesus Christ, His kingdom, His glory? When you look at your own heart, how is it with you? How is it with you? Maybe you think what we read from Matthew just a moment ago, Matthew 13 verse 7, about the gospel seed going forth and being choked out. Maybe you could say, I know something of that. The cares of this world. The cares of this world have choked out the gospel, the thorns of life. And not even really the thorns of life, friends, but the thorns of your own heart. Maybe that's come and that's choked out the gospel bringing forth its fruit in your life. The bride in the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon chapter 2. Verse 15, she speaks about the little foxes that spoil the vines, for the vines have tender grapes. She's really giving a good illustration of the Christian's heart. Again, it's not uncommon in the Scriptures, by the way, to see the heart referred to as a garden, a field. It's not uncommon to see agricultural language be used. But there, she's speaking about these little foxes, seemingly little sins that come in and disrupt the soul's spiritual life. Seemingly the little things that interfere with you and the Lord. Now, Hosea is speaking Not just to individuals. The church is made up of individuals, but he's speaking collectively to the whole church. That's why it's in the scriptures. It's for us all. It's not only for the individual, but it's for the congregation. So, as a congregation, what things are coming up? What things are the thistles and the thorns that interfere with seeking the Lord? My friend, what things in the life of this congregation in your own heart need to be broken up so that there can be great gospel fruit brought forth? Now you know your own heart. Of course, the heart is desperately wicked and the Lord trieth the reins, but you know your own heart and the Lord certainly knows as well. And do you know what? You can cry out to God. You can cry out to God to come and to till and to plow and to break up the fallow ground of your heart. As a congregation, we can cry out to God to break up the fallow ground in this place so that there's much fruit brought forth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants His bride, that is the church, and every individual Christian, He wants them to be adorned with the beauty of His holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come and redeem a sinner, my friends, to leave them as they are, but rather He redeems them so that they work to their chief end, to His glory, so that they bring forth fruit, so that they themselves are beautiful because their Savior is beautiful and because they are being conformed to His image. As we commence this ministry together, I come to you with the words of the prophet Hosea, and I plead with you to break up your fallow ground. And you can't do it under your own strength, but you must cry out to God, and you must plead to the Lord. You must say, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come and break up the hardened heart that I have, the places that have become overgrown, come and break them up so that your gospel seed can take root, so that your gospel fruit can be brought forth, so that it can be pleasing. To who? Not to yourself, but to the Lord Jesus. And you know, my friends, the Lord Jesus is pleased to do this. The Lord Jesus is happy to come to His people, and He's happy to purify them. He's happy to make them to be holy. He's happy to conform them to His image. Sometimes we don't like the process. Sometimes the breaking up of the fallow ground is like a surgery. It's like a gangrenous limb that must be severed and it must be cut off. But we should be pleading to the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician of our souls. We should be crying out. We should be saying, Lord, come, cut off, break up. Apply the gospel balm and heal my soul. That's what we must be doing, friends. That's what we must do. But Hosea is not merely content to tell them to break up the ground. He's not merely content to tell them that the earth must be tilled, but he's urgent about it. He says that basically now is the time to seek the Lord. That time has come now. And it's true. Perhaps you've ever been asked to do something and you're sort of hesitant to do it, or you really didn't understand the urgency in being asked, and somebody sort of says rather curtly to you, well, there's no better time than the present. And that's the way it is this morning with us. with each and every single one of us. Whether you're converted and you're in Christ, whether you've been walking with the Lord for many years, or whether you're outside of Christ and you do not know Him, the Lord Jesus invites every single one of you to seek Him. And He says, now you must seek Me, and there is no better time than the present to seek the Lord. You see, because we are in the day of grace. We are in the time that God has ordained for the preaching of the gospel. And what I mean by that is, I mean, the Lord Jesus hasn't returned. He hasn't come yet to judge the living and the dead. Right now we're in the gospel age. We're in the time where these good tidings, this good news of salvation is to sinners. And it's to His people as well. We must not forget that. That Hosea is speaking to the church. And he's calling the whole church to seek the Lord. You know, there are times when the church does not seek the Lord as they had ought. There are times when the church becomes cold. There are times when the church becomes lukewarm, when the Christian themselves become lukewarm, or the Lord's people, I should say, become lukewarm. You know if you've left your first love. You know if you are lukewarm, congregation. You know it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He invites you again to come to Him. In Revelation 3:20, we read, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's speaking, in a sense, to the He's speaking to the congregation of Laodicea. The church is a mixed multitude. The church has the converted and the unconverted in it. And there's some comfort in this. Jesus is saying, behold, to the church at Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. If you're unconverted, I stand at the door and knock to bring you into My kingdom, to pour out My grace upon you. I'm inviting you to be saved, Jesus says. And to the Christian, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Come in and let Me have communion with you. And Jesus is, we could say, in a sense, standing at the door and knocking this morning. He's come by the preaching of His Word, and He's come to you, Ulverston PCEA, and He's come and He said, break up your fallow ground. Now is the time to seek after Me. Now, at this point, at this juncture, not even really simply at this juncture, not today, not tomorrow, not in the next hour, not after the church luncheon, not at home when you have some time. He's saying resolve to do it now, to seek Me now as you hear My word preached. Come to Me, the Lord is saying. It reminds me of Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7, where of course the Lord says that He invites sinners, I should say, to seek Him while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near. And He says to the wicked, He says, let them forsake their way, and the unrighteous man to leave his thoughts, and let them return to God, because God will abundantly pardon. I think there's a temptation today in the church, when the gospel is brought forth with urgency, when the gospel is brought forth with power, there's a temptation to sort of shirk back from it. There's a temptation to say, this is too urgent, this is too pleading. There's sort of a fear that this would turn people off. But friends, the reality is that, and I hope that as we continue through my ministry here, that we can learn to understand this, that the word preached must plow, or else the field will become desolate, and the Lord will come and He'll plow the field, but He'll plow it with judgment. So the word must go forth, and it must do its work. It must plow. It must be searching preaching. It must be urgent preaching, and it must emphasize that now, at this very moment, at this very time, it's the day of grace, and it's time to seek the Lord. And as I was thinking about this urgency, in our text, I was reminded of how very easy it is for the gospel seed to be scattered, going back to the parable of the sower, and to be basically eaten up by the birds or to be scorched. There's so many ways that the gospel can be disrupted. So many ways. And after this, there's a church luncheon. And the Lord has invited us to seek Him, and that should affect how we live our lives. But I'll emphasize this about the luncheon. I know that some of you, I haven't seen you in a couple of years, and it's good to see you. Some of you I haven't met before, and I'm happy to have met you. But the Lord has called us to seek Him now. I'll say we're doing well. There's many things I'm sure you'd love to talk about, probably everything from the election last night to COVID restrictions in America, so on and so forth. But as we sit down to lunch, let's speak of Christ. Let's cast aside the world. Let us resolve that now is the time the Lord is to be sought. And let us speak about Him, about His work, about what He has done. It's been 2 years since I've seen some of you. Tell me what the Lord has done for you in those 2 years. Tell me of what Christ has taught you. And I'll tell you as well. But there's no better time to seek the Lord than now. And Hosea is urgent. He's emphasizing it. He's pushing it. He says, no, it has to be now. And he goes on, and he basically says, till the Lord comes. It's our third point, by the way. Till the Lord comes. He wants them to break up their fallow ground, to turn, to repent from their sins, to flee from those things which separate them from God, and to seek after God until something happens, and that is, till the Lord comes. Till the Lord is pleased to visit. Now, I thought this is very interesting because the way that the prophet says this is he says, till the Lord comes and rains His righteousness upon you. It's interesting that the first thing he says, till, is till the Lord comes. You see, for the prophet Hosea, and for many of the Old Testament prophets, in fact, all the Old Testament prophets, there's a priority here. And for the Christian, there's a priority here. The reigning of the righteousnesses, we'll come to that in a moment, but you can basically think about it as God's benefits. Hosea doesn't want just the benefits of fellowship and communion with God. Hosea wants God's presence. That's what he desires. Hosea is like Moses. Hosea is saying, Lord, show me Your glory. There's no satisfaction for the prophet until the Lord comes. And the Lord, in this prophecy, had said some pretty severe things about the sins of Israel. And there's some pretty severe things basically said about what the future holds for them. And it would be very easy for Hosea, for any Israelite that heard this message, and it's easy for us today when we're in the midst of afflictions, when things are not looking so good, it's very easy just to sort of be content. Hosea could have been content that God stayed His hand of judgment, that He wasn't going to do what He said He was going to do, or that there was going to be some temporal mercy to come about. It's very easy for us to think that way. It's very easy for us to think, well, we haven't, in a sense, encountered the Lord. We haven't felt the Lord's presence, but the affliction has lightened. The matter seems to be getting better. Hosea is totally against that. He understands that the Lord must come. All the benefits he's speaking of, the reigning of righteousness, it comes from the presence of the Lord. But he doesn't want merely the people to be free from the consequences of their sins. He doesn't want the oppression that they are going to come under to merely be stopped. He wants all of that to come if it means the presence of the Lord. Hosea is interested in God's presence, and the Christian is to be interested in the presence of the Lord. There's a very practical way to gauge. There's a practical way to gauge how you stack up on that. Whether you just want the matter, as it were, to be dropped, you just want it to end, or you would rather desire God's presence. And the way to sort of gauge yourself on this, or the way to sort of put yourself to the test, is to ask yourself, when you're afflicted, or when you're struggling with something, or when there's national calamity at hand, it's, do I desire God's glory out of this? And am I content to suffer for the Lord's sake so that He gets glory? Am I content, as Moses was, to bear the reproach of Christ rather than to enjoy the riches and the wonderful things of this world? The psalmist in Psalm 43 illustrates this so wonderfully. He says that he will go to the altar of God, to God his exceeding joy. You see, the psalmist wants to go to the altar. And you might not catch it, but he says to the God of his exceeding joy. He says, I'll go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. He doesn't merely want the altar. He doesn't merely want the outward ceremony. He wants to encounter the God that is his portion in this life. The God, the triune God, that is his exceeding joy. Hosea, congregation of Ulverston, Hosea is calling you. Christ, we could say, is calling you to break up your fallow ground and to seek Him. And to seek Him and break up until He comes. Until Christ is in the midst of His people. This is beautifully illustrated again by the bride in the Song of Solomon, this time chapter 3. In the opening of chapter 3, she seeks after her beloved, that is the Lord Jesus, but she can't find Him. And she goes about the city and she's seeking Him and she can't find Him until at one point she finds Him and she says, I held Him and I would not let Him go. Congregation, that has to be how it is with us. We have to seek the Lord until we find Him. And when we find Him, we cannot let Him go. We must despise the little foxes that destroy the fruit brought forth in the vineyard. We must break up the fallow ground. And it's interesting, the bride goes on to say that when she finds Him and she wouldn't let Him go, she wants to immediately bring Him into her mother's house. She's speaking there of the church. You see, the Christian is not content merely to just have Christ kind of personally to themselves. They want the whole church to have Christ. When they find Him, they cling to Him and they want to bring Him in and they want their brothers and sisters in the Lord to have that experience. Hosea wants that. Hosea wants the Lord to come to His people. And oh my friends, would the Lord rend the heavens and come down into our midst and pour out upon us His righteousness. And that's how he closes. With the blessed benefits that come by the Lord being in the midst of His people. It only comes by God's presence. It only comes we could say spiritually, by being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes no other way. It's not a benefit if it doesn't come out of the hand of the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. And He wants those benefits. Benefits that come by the Lord being present with His people. He wants those benefits for Israel. Congregation, we speak about the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go on and on, but of course Christ is a prophet, priest, and a king. And He does bless His people in this life and in the life to come. His wonderful benefits of redemption. He brings His people, as I've already mentioned, into union with Himself. They are justified. They are adopted into His family. They are sanctified. If you're a Christian, you're justified, adopted, and you're being sanctified. That's benefits that the Lord Jesus brings to His people. At their death, what happens? Well, we're told that their body is sown in the ground to be brought forth as a fruit at the resurrection. And we're told that their soul immediately departs to be with Christ. And at the end of time, what happens? Well, their bodies are raised. They're reunited with their soul. Their bodies are raised to glory, reunited with the soul. And they go to be with Christ in glory. Christ bestows benefits on His people. He loves His people. He lavishes them with His love. And that's what Hosea longs. He longs for the Lord Jesus to come and to lavish His people with His love. An Ulverston congregation, that's what I desire for you. I desire that the fallow ground of your hearts, the fallow ground of this congregation, would be broken up. I desire that now there would be a resolve to seek the Lord in earnest. And I pray that the Lord would come, that we would find Him, that we would cling to Him. And all of His wonderful benefits would be abundant here. Because the Lord Jesus, of course, is the rock struck in the wilderness. And out of Him do living waters flow. But let me say this. You can't be content just merely with having preaching. You cannot be content just merely with having someone in the pulpit. You cannot, congregation, be content just merely with coming here Lord's Day morning and afternoons. You cannot be content just merely with your own Bible reading and your own family worship. You must desire the Lord's presence. You must desire communion with Christ in all these things. And in one sense, we could say, you really must never be content, because on this earth, God's people are but tabernacling, and they will not enjoy perfect communion with Christ until the life hereafter. So let us not be content. Let us seek the Lord. Let us long for His presence, and let us break up this day our fallow ground. Let's pray. O Most High and ever blessed God, we pray by Your Spirit that You would break up the fallow ground of our hearts, that, O Lord, we would resolve to seek You, that the thorns and briars and thistles would be broken up, that the seed of the gospel would come and would take fruit. And we pray, O Most High, that You would come into our midst, that our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come, that whatever sin separates us from You, whatever separates us from You, O Lord, that it would be broken up and Christ would come and we would enjoy Him. And it's in His name we pray, asking the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.